Today's program is the conclusion of six broadcasts answering the question, what is the New Jerusalem of Revelation 21? John saw a vision of a new heaven and a new earth, and of the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. As we have seen, the visions of the book of Revelation must be interpreted symbolically or metaphorically, not literally. The four horsemen of Revelation 6 will not be fulfilled by four men riding four different colored horses. They represent something else. The same is true of all of the strange visions of Revelation. Chapter 12 tells of a great red dragon which cast a third part of the stars to earth. None of these can ever be literal. Take the stars cast to earth, for instance. 2,000 years ago, men may not have known, but God knew, as we know today, that every star is thousands to millions of times the size of the earth. One star would completely destroy the earth. We won't see locusts with bodies like horses and faces of men. We won't see all the grass of the earth burned up. We won't see two men killed and lie in the street for 3.5 years and then be raised up. Neither will we see an actual city of gold lowered to the earth as John saw New Jerusalem in Revelation 21, although I know there are ministers who teach that. Whether they be creatures or beasts, whether it be 144,000 men or 3.5 years of time, all represent something other than what they seem to represent to the carnal reader. These visions are given as they are to hide truth from some while revealing it to others. In Matthew 13:10, the disciples asked Jesus, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Jesus answered, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." So in metaphors in the book of Revelation, and in parables, God Almighty actually hides the truth from some while giving it to others. On these radio broadcasts, we are seeking out those truths, and today we'll see why John said the city was pure gold, and also why the gates were all made of one pearl, as it says in Revelation 21 and verse 19. All right, back to the New Jerusalem of Revelation 21 and 22. I won't recap much from past broadcasts, because as soon as I finish this program, all six broadcasts on this series will be available on two C90 cassettes. At the end of the program, I'll tell you how you can obtain the whole series. As I have emphasized before, the key to understanding what the vision of New Jerusalem, as described by John, stands for, is in verses 9 and 10 of Revelation 21. The angel told John he would show him the bride, the Lamb's wife, and the angel then showed John New Jerusalem. So the New Jerusalem is the bride or the future wife of Jesus Christ. As such, of course, the whole description of New Jerusalem is therefore a metaphorical description of a people, not of an actual city. Verse 12 tells us New Jerusalem had 12 gates, each gate having the name of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. In the last three broadcasts, we have found voluminous evidence in both the Old and the New Scriptures that the bride of Jesus Christ was to be the whole Israel people. God married Israel first at Mount Sinai, but divorced her for adultery, for going a-whoring after other gods in 721 B.C., but he promised to remarry Israel again. Israel was made a widow by the death of God, her husband, on the cross of Calvary, that she might be married to another even Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead. This redeemed Israel nation is called the New Jerusalem, the Bride of the Lamb in Revelation 21. Isaiah, Ezekiel, Joel, Zechariah, and others describe the land of Israel's regathering as a great continent between the eastern and the western seas and to run to the ends of the earth. So New Jerusalem is a people, redeemed Israel, gathered in a nation called Zion, so we have both a people and a land, a country, if you please. This truth that redeemed Israel, Zion or New Jerusalem, is a people in a land upon the earth, is not only denied by most of the clergy today, but some have even rewritten the Bible to hide these truths from our people. One famous or infamous example of a rewriting of God's Word is called the Living Bible. I have a sermon on that called That Fraud Called the Living Bible. It is listed in the tape catalog you will receive in the monthly packet. But if you have one, the Living Bible that is, open it to Hebrews 11, and I will show you how the Living Bible changed God's Word to deceive you about what Abraham looked forward to receiving as the promise of the covenant. I'll read both the King James and the Living Bible. You listen to the comparison. Verse 14 of Hebrews 11 in the King James, referring to Abraham and Sarah, reads, quote, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country," and the Greek word here translated country is patris, in the English P-A-T-R-I-S, and it means clearly land or country. The Living Bible changes that verse to read, quote, "And quite obviously when they talk like that, they were looking forward to their real home in heaven." The word country is left out, and the word heaven has been inserted in its place. The writers of the Living Bible continue their deception in verse 15 and 16. Here the King James says, "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." That obviously says Abraham and his children could have returned to old Canaan land, but that wasn't what they wanted. They desired a better country or a heavenly country. The word is still the same, patris, meaning land or country. The Living Bible leaves most of that out completely and says this, quote, "If they had wanted to, they could have gone back to the good things of this world, but they didn't want to. They were living for heaven." So the perpetrators of that fraud called the Living Bible have completely removed the true meaning of Hebrews 11 and have instead told their readers that Abraham was looking forward to going to heaven. Nowhere in the Old Scriptures or the New is there one single solitary passage that indicates that Abraham looked forward to heaven, yet they have written that in the Living Bible. To demonstrate that Abraham looked forward to a land or a country, not heaven, here is the Greek word patris, used in other places in the King James New Testament. Matthew 13, verse 54, of Jesus, "And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in the synagogue." Country is patris. Jesus certainly was not in heaven, but in the land, country, where he was then living. Luke 4, 23, Jesus speaking, "Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." thy patrice. Verse 24. Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country, his own patrice. Jesus was certainly not saying, no prophet is accepted in his own heaven. And yet the perpetrators of the Living Bible changed Abraham's promise of a new country, a new land, to say that Abraham was looking forward to heaven. That's all the time I have for the Living Bible. Let's go on with our study of New Jerusalem, redeemed Israel. Part of the reason true Israel is not recognized today is that God said Israel was to have a different name. She has already been renamed, and most churchgoers do not know it. In Numbers 6 and verse 26, God prophesied of Israel's ministers, quote, and they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. In Deuteronomy 28 and verse 10, God said to Israel, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and shall be afraid of thee. In Isaiah 62 and verse 2, thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Someone is certain to say at this point, but God's name was Yahweh or Jehovah, and no people have had that name named on them. But if you will turn to Revelation 3, you will find in verse 12 that God said that He, God, would have a new name and would name that new name on His people. I believe God's new name is Jesus Christ, and it was named on Israel over 1900 years ago. We read in Acts 11 and verse 26, and the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Who were these disciples? Israelites. And from then on, as Israelites believed, they all came to be called Christians, named after the new name of their risen God, their future husband. The whole body of dispersed Israel, the people of Europe, have since been known as Christendom, or the dominion of Christ. They were Israelites by race. They are the chosen people of God by God's own choice and by His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and now even His name has been named upon them. Last week I showed how Israel had to be and was made a widow by the death of her husband, God, on the cross. She also had to be cleansed of all sin before she could remarry her risen husband, Jesus Christ. And that brings us to the gold of the city of New Jerusalem. If New Jerusalem is people, the cleansed and redeemed Israel people, why did God show it to John as a city of pure gold and with a street of gold? The present world system values gold above all things. It is the world's most precious commodity. Men kill and make war for gold, as does Mystery Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18, and yet God showed New Jerusalem as gold. Well, the prophets tell us in Ezekiel 7 that in the day God establishes Zion in Jerusalem, men will cast their gold to the moles and to the bats. In Isaiah 2, he says they will cast it into the streets. It will be worthless. And that may account for the street of New Jerusalem being paved with gold. Men will walk on it and will not pick it up. It will have no value. But Revelation 21:18 says of New Jerusalem, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. That gold of New Jerusalem is God's people. In Isaiah 13, speaking of the time when the world system would be destroyed, in verse 12, I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir. Zechariah 13, verse 1, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Verse 9, and I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. Israel will be refined gold. Malachi 3:1, the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. That messenger, of course, is Jesus. Verse 2 and 3, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner, and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver. God says it all in Isaiah 1, verse 25 through 27. And I will turn my hand upon thee, and purely purge away thy dross, and take away all thy tin. Those are phrases describing the refining of gold. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Who was to be called a city of righteousness? Israel, redeemed Israel, is the city, New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, as she is purged and purified as fine gold. John could truly write that New Jerusalem, the holy city, was of pure gold, like unto clear glass. Now how about those pearly gates we hear so much about? The fiction of a pearly gate at heaven comes from the symbolic gates of New Jerusalem in Revelation 21 and verse 21. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. So each gate was a pearl, but all the gates were made of one pearl. Remember, I said Revelation hides the truth from the ungodly, just as Jesus did in his parables. So if we turn to one of Jesus' parables, in Matthew 13, we find one pearl. Matthew 13, verses 45 and 46. Jesus is speaking. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. The common teaching today is that pearl is either Jesus Christ or salvation, which we obtain by selling or giving up something. But we cannot buy either Jesus or salvation. So the pearl cannot be something we buy. It cannot be Jesus or salvation. Instead, the merchantman here is Jesus, and the one pearl is Israel. God sold all that he had on Calvary, gave his life for his wife Israel, and bought her. The Old Testament term is redeemed, meaning to buy back or to repurchase. God redeemed or bought Israel at Calvary. He purchased her with his own blood. Psalm 74:2 speaks of this Mount Zion, which thou hast redeemed. Isaiah 43:1 to Israel, I have redeemed thee. Isaiah 44, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob. Isaiah 52:3, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money, and on. God is called Israel's Redeemer, or Israel's purchaser, if you please, more than 20 times in the Bible. Romans 3:24, Colossians 1:14, Ephesians 1:7, Hebrews 9:12, Revelation 5:9 are a few which speak of redemption through Jesus' blood. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price. In Acts 20, verse 28, Paul warns the ministers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That church is in Israel. In Ephesians 1, Paul tells us in verse 13 and 14, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise until the redemption of the purchased possession. What was the purchased possession? Israel, purchased, redeemed, bought back by the blood of Jesus, the price was paid for the one pearl of great price for Israel. So everything fits. The gates of one pearl, the gates are Israel. The city of pure gold, Israel will be pure gold. New Jerusalem is the bride of the Lamb. Israel is to be the bride of Christ. Israel is New Jerusalem. It is a sorry comment on the modern evangelists and clergy that they disguise and hide the truth of God's Word with their fairy tales and old wise fables about the pearly gates or streets of gold of heaven, or about how the old city of Jerusalem will be renovated and become a new Jerusalem. They despise and deny the glorious truth that we are Israel. We have been regathered into the new land of Zion, the great nation promised to Abraham. And the day is soon coming when we shall be cleansed of all sin and unrighteousness. The wicked shall be gathered up and taken out of the kingdom, and Jesus Christ will rule over all Israel and the world. May God speed the day. Now that is all for New Jerusalem for now. These last six radio broadcasts are available on two C90 cassette tapes for an offering to this radio ministry of $6 or more. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. And for those who still have a multitude of questions, most of which will boil down to one thing. How can we, America, and the Saxon race, be this Israel, this New Jerusalem, when we are literally on the verge of destruction by the forces of the Antichrist? Well, God willing, that is what we will study next on these radio broadcasts. For the same prophets who foretold God's redemption and remarriage to Israel told us at the end of this age, Israel, yes, even this Zion and New Jerusalem we've been reading about, would be captured by the Antichrist world system called Babylon in the Bible. Isaiah 52, God tells of the holy city Zion. Verse 2, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. In Micah 4, God describes Zion and Jerusalem, and then says in verse 10, thou shalt go even to Babylon, there shalt thou be delivered. In Zechariah 2, where we read so much of the description of the great God-blessed land of Zion, God says in verse 7, deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwelleth with the daughter of Babylon. Yes, beautiful, beautiful Zion, God's holy nation, America Israel, has been taken captive by Mystery Babylon. And Babylon's power over Israel in Zion must be destroyed before the holy city will be ready for her marriage to the Lamb. We'll begin that study in a week or two, God willing. I have just returned from a five-day tour of the Panama Canal with the group from Liberty Lobby in Washington, D.C. God willing, I will give a report on that next week, along with some scripture references to show you how the Panama Canal fits in with Bible prophecy. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian Israel in America, Zion.